Do you know you have a lot of Muslim fans?
Either something came from nothing or something came from something.
أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ
Kyrie Irving, the famous basketball player.
Kyrie, on a personal note, you have said that you are fasting for Ramadan, which, for those who are unaware, means no food, no water from sun up to sun down.
I say it's like Sharia law. I say it's a Pfizer law. You know, it's like we have...
Were they created by nothing?
Say, like, I think both parties are corrupt. Both, you know, both systems are misleading people.
You got Allahu Akbar on your hat.
Found out the teenagers were singing Allah Akbar.
Listen to what they say afterwards.
Allahu Akbar!
You know, if you want to control the minds of the masses, like Malcolm X said, the media does that.
What do you think when you hear this? We say, literally, we love Jesus.
To your audience and any Muslim that watches, you know, I'll always, on my news platform, give you a fair shake.
I might convert to Islam right now.
This is the danger. This is the danger.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, which means peace be unto you. My next guest grew up Catholic, got baptized, went through the motions, but his family and himself really wasn't into it. At a certain point, he realized organized religion, which is fishy, seemed like a scam. He ended up taking a leap of faith and declared himself an atheist, considered himself woke, but eventually he came back to believing that there must be a creator to all of this. He's a famous YouTuber, has been watched by millions, doing news analysis. We have Mr. Anomaly himself here on the Dean Show. What's up, brother?
How are you? I guess you saw that video, right? The one where I talked about coming back to God.
That's what triggered us to go ahead and invite you on and have a conversation.
Very cool. I'm glad I made that video that way as well. You know, I made it short and I tried to really make it relatable, and I knew that Christians and Muslims would appreciate it, and I'm glad that you saw that and liked it, because I almost didn't make that video because it's just like a, you know, short, deep one, but it's probably one of my favorite videos. It's hard to tap out of the news sometimes when everything's going on, but appreciate you having me.
Really good video, really good, and we'll get into that. I wanted to start off with the first part that you talk about in that video, that you talk about your family not really being into it and yourself. Can you help us understand that first part that you talk about?
So I grew up, I guess, Catholic. My parents got divorced at a young age, and I just feel like nobody in my family really had the spirit, right? It didn't seem like they were super excited about it. And as a kid, it just seemed like I was being dragged to places. Like, I think it was called CCD, like go here, and I'm just kind of being dropped off places. Nobody's excited about God or you know, explaining it in a way that made sense. So something seemed off. And even with like the Catholic Church, you know, you learn about corruption, et cetera, on television. And then I picked up, I think it was Richard Dawkins' book, where he was talking about, you know, God's not real, it's the spaghetti monster or something. And I just felt like I was rebelling against society. So that was my rebellion at a young age. Like, my whole family was super religious or claimed to be. And then I was like, you know what, it's all fake. This is a BS. And I guess it wasn't until my 20s that I started to, you know, return and, I guess, lived experiences, watching how wicked some parts of the world and the media has gotten. But now it's crazy. I feel like I'm the most religious person in my family, and now it's the opposite. I'm trying to get them back on the train. So, I mean, we did a 180 almost as a family.
You talk about at stage, like when you accept, you took a, I call it a leap of faith. You know, you became an atheist, right?
Right.
And now you considered yourself woke. What do you mean by that?
Well, I guess I felt like I knew activism very well. When the atheist thing, I was real cocky. I remember I would go around to kids that believed in God. I mean, I was kind of a jerk now that I look at it, but I was like, it's stupid. I don't get it. Where does the soul come from? Your dog has a soul. I would just kind of bully kids. Now, I wasn't a bully, but asking questions, I guess, and just being a little rude. And then I guess college, you know, they got me with a lot of the, you know, certain activism and social justice stuff. And I'm not saying social justice isn't real. I just feel like the media manufactured version of it tends to be kind of fake. And, you know, they tap into the fact that a lot of kids want to change the world, right? Like, as a kid, you're like, something's not right. You see the prison system, this, something's off. So I feel like the media and certain groups know how to tap into that hunger that I had. And I think as I grew up, I started kind of seeing through the cracks more and more and being like, okay, well, and I think that's one of the qualities that really helped me grow was I had humility and I wasn't super stubborn, you know, which I'm grateful for. And I always try to tell people, no matter, you know, how smart you are or not, I mean, most people have, I think, the capacity to lower their ego and just listen to new ideas, right? And not just write them off. So I started learning that not everything was what it was. So that's, I guess, woke used to mean, you know, I'm awake to the banking system, you know, it was a good thing. And now it's considered a bad thing to some. So I've seen that brand kind of just shift.
Because the reason I ask you that is because when people think now, okay, now I'm an atheist, they go to university, many Christians and even Muslims, they'll go to university and the whole system kind of is set up to push their agenda and to get right. You to become someone, you know, who is like away from religion. Religion is some fairy tale, you know. So you have a lot of Christians will go in, and this is like a true story. They'll go into the philosophy class, and the first day of class, they'll be like, how many, the professor's like, how many people believe in God? Everybody raised their hands, the Christians, the Muslims. And then at the end of the day, those who aren't really grounded, what happens is at the end of the class, now they're pushing the whole narrative that there is no God and everything on you. And then at the end, the semester, it's very few hands that stay up. You know right. What I mean? And now some people attribute not believing to God like, oh, I'm woke, I'm cool now, right?
Right. Now, yeah. That's definitely happening in culture, especially college system. They have this huge political social agenda where, you know, they act as if God is this archaic belief. But, you know, I've been telling people recently, whether you're white, black, Christian, Muslim, whatever you are, you know, they're trying to push this idea that all of history is evil, like your history is evil. It was only slavery. Like, that's it. And you read these ancient texts and it's so much wiser than the people nowadays. So all these like half-wit professors, you know, they're almost teaching a new religion to people. They're taking the void of religion, and their religion is their activism and social justice. And now it's gotten so lopsided. Like, I don't care how big or small you are, but they're almost pushing this idea that, you know, being massively overweight is like amazing. And if you're working out, it's like a far right wing. It's getting so Looney Tunes where it's like, you know, there's nothing wrong with working out. That's not really a political angle. So I think they're really messing kids up. And you know, any Muslims or Christians watching this, going to school or sending your kids to school, definitely try to be involved, because, you know, they'll screw your kids up real fast.
Have you seen that documentary? It's called Intelligence, No Intelligence Allowed, Expelled.
I haven't.
Really good documentary. It shows this where people, now the professors, people who argue for creationism, for a creator, they end up, when they go against the system, they end up getting pretty much blacklisted, right? So it's a whole push that if you go against the narrative, right, then you're not invited to the party anymore.
Right.
So yeah, I really strongly recommend our viewers, if you haven't watched it, it's done by a Christian, actually. It's called Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed. Put that on your to-do list if you have a chance.
Cool. I have a quick story real quick. I went to West Virginia University, and this was before, I think, the social justice push got extreme. But I guess it was still there. So I had this professor who seemed kind of gay, but he would always say, I'm not gay. Like, no one asked, but he'd always say that, which made me think he was, because I never asked. And he told me that's like 100 times. But he made us write a letter to Barack Obama at the time. And he said, write the letter. Here's your assignment. Write a letter to Obama and say why you support gay marriage. And he didn't allow you to not. And I was thinking at the time, even though I didn't have these huge social stances or religious stances, I always thought that was just weird, just as somebody who could critically think. I was like, what if somebody's religious and doesn't agree with it? I believe they should be allowed to make the case for why they don't support it, you know, even if that's not what I agree with. But he conned really everybody into forcing them to believe this, whether they did or not, write it or else they would fail. And then he took the letters and mailed it to the White House and acted as if we had done that organically and just felt that way. And I, even as someone at the time that didn't have a big stance on it, I felt very duped. I was like, wow, this guy's a sneaky, you know, like political agent, almost just getting thousands of kids to write letters that we didn't even have an option to disagree with. So that just shows how crazy it was even back then. It just kind of slipped under the radar.
Do you know you have a lot of Muslim fans, a lot of Muslims that watch you, you know, share your material? Did you know that?
I mean, I don't know the exact number, but I figured over the last couple of years, I've seen a lot and I appreciate it.
Yeah, so I've had a lot of people also tell me to invite you on the program, share a lot of your stuff. And
very cool.
The community is going to be happy that we got you on the program.
I'm pumped. I saw your Jesse Lee Peterson interview, and I feel like you and your brother there handled it very, very well. You know, Jesse, you know, he makes some good points, definitely, but he, you know, he definitely has his mindset and he's sticking to it, where I think in the right wing Christian conservative, whatever you call it, sphere, you know, people are very, I would say, misinformed about Islam. You know, and I feel like that I'm one of the few people that gives it a super fair shake, beyond fair shake. I compliment it often. So I appreciate that people see that. And, you know, I thought that's what made me want to do the interview. I was like, you guys handled yourself super well.
Thank you very much. And that's what we try to do. We try to, you know, go ahead and explain Islam in a simple way. And I feel that we have a lot in common with conservative Christians. We really, really do. You know, and you you talk about a lot of those things. But it would just on one end, you have, we feel sometimes Islam is so misunderstood. Muslims are so misunderstood. On one side, you got groups that just want to kill us. They want to or eradicate us. They don't have nothing to do with Muslims. But I feel like if we work together, we can accomplish much more good. Like many of the things you talk about, for instance, you talk about, a lot about abortion. You know what I mean? Right. So that's one thing that we have in common. You can work on, you know, you talk about so many other good things, but the division, if we're divided, you're not going to be as efficient. What do you think on that?
No, I agree. And I think that it's still slow because I think like the Fox News-esque people are, and I'm not just blaming Fox News, but they're, you know, they've been programmed for so much. But I think a lot of younger right wingers are starting to respect Islam in a way that they never did, because, you know, during the Patriot Act and the Iraq War, it's almost as if they used the entire religion as a scapegoat, where obviously there's some bad actors. And the crazy part is when you get to really the core of it, it's not to take, you know, 100% of responsibility in America and act like we're so bad, but a lot of the really radical groups that are the minority are being funded and supported a lot of times by the West. You know, it's almost like they're egging it on purposely. So I think a lot of people are realizing now that we were promised this whole, you know, war on terror, and now they're turning inwards and they're looking at, you know, white Christian conservatives as if they are now the new Al-Qaeda. I think a lot of younger conservatives are starting to realize, like, you know, they'll look at Muslim countries and say, based, that's based, because they realize, okay, they're putting a stop to the degeneracy. And in the stricter Muslim countries, they put their foot down hard, where in America, it's almost like they don't put their foot down at all. So I think there's this new respect for Islam and even the Christian and American world, where they're like, okay, wow, they have kind of halted leftism by taking a stricter stance than American conservatives.
If we just take that example with Jesse, since you watched that, do a lot of people also sympathize, you know, with the way he, or see things the way he does, when he kept pushing certain points? He kept pushing this thing about taqiyya, and your Quran teaches that for to lie, deceive. And then we're giving him references. We're giving him textual proofs. You follow right. me? But he keeps on. And then I start to think about, okay, I start to feel a little bit, you know, sorry for people who've been, because you also talk about this. You talk about media manipulation, how the media, you know, brainwashes the people. But then I look at many conservative Christians that they know the term fake news, right? But right. then when it comes to Islam, you're going to swallow everything, you know, bait, hook, sinker, everything.
Right.
So, well, it's like you got to be consistent. You know, there's a lot of push with lies, distortion, half-truths, but so what do you think? Do a lot of conservative Christians also believe like some of these things that we find like just crazy, that he really believes this stuff and he's convinced right. of it?
I have to say, with Jesse, he's a unique character, where it almost seems like there's nobody like him, just the way he carries himself, because he's so, you know, when he wants to ask a question, he'll ask it 15 times. Like, yeah. So it's almost comical, you know. That's what makes him entertaining and interesting. Yeah. And a lot of times it works, but no, definitely a lot of people. I would say that number shrinking because of what's going on in America and the war on terror. I feel like people are starting to realize nothing that they said, like, we're going for bin Laden, but now we're in Syria and Libya. And now you have like intelligence agencies looking at Trump supporters as if they're the enemy. So I think that was a big wake up call. But definitely, you know, I hear that a lot. There's just a few talking points, like you said, the taqiyya or the, you know, this and that. And I try to say, you know, I mean, I don't always have like conversations about this because I haven't really heard it recently. But, you know, as far as the idea that everybody's violent, or that one was around for a while with that propaganda, it's like you would know if that was true, just, you know, logically, because there's billions of people on earth that follow this religion, you know. So I think I think definitely there still is a lot of right wingers that believe it because of that, you know, war on terror, sort of like 15 years of just like pushing this narrative.
One thing that stood out from you in that video, and I want to go ahead and share it with you. And then with your permission, I want to show you something that came to my mind and get your reaction to it. Can we do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Does that really make sense either? Either something came from nothing or something came from something. It's hard to really say that nothing coming from nothing. Oh, it's just the Big Bang or planets colliding or whatever. Well, then where did those planets come from? Where did it start? What came first, the chicken or the egg?
Okay, so that's the first part. That's the one video that triggered me, and I'm sure a lot of Muslims will relate to what I'm going to show you next. I just want to get your reaction with your permission.
Yeah, no worries.
Because remember what you said, and then you're going to, let's see if you could put it together and then just get your reaction to it. We're going to start from the number 34, but it gets into at number 35, and pay attention to the words and to what you said.
لِيَأْتُوا بِحَدِيثٍ مِثْلِهِ إِن كَانُوا صَادِقِينَ.
Then let them produce a statement like it, if they should be truthful.
أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ.
Or were they created by nothing, or were they the creators of themselves?
أَمْ خَلَقُوا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بَلْ لَا يُوقِنُونَ.
أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ. أَمْ خَلَقُوا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بَلْ لَا يُوقِنُونَ.
Let me hear, I want to hear what that means to you, like, exact, you know, because I get that it's very similar, but yeah.
So the verse.
Or did they create the heavens and the earth?
So here, when you talked about something, either something came from nothing or something came from something. Mm-hmm. So here, when I heard that, I right away came to this and I thought about this question that's asked, or were they created by nothing, right? Mm-hmm. So did nothing create nothing, right? And then your logic was that had you come back to belief in God was that nothing cannot produce something, right?
Right.
Right. So this had me think of that here. So
because a lot of the scientists, they, you know, they're like, oh, that's so dumb to think there's a God. But the Big Bang, it's like, well, where did that, you know, so that was definitely like, where did that come from then? It just that came from nowhere. How does that make any more sense?
Now, this, have you ever heard this? Have you ever now, and I'll break it down for you, but this is just for educational purposes. Do you know what you just listened to? Have any idea? No. What does it sound like to you? Because you're also a musician, so you're good with musical instruments and that. What did it sound like to you?
Like a prayer of some sort.
So this is the you know, you had Jesus who spoke Aramaic. I just like to frame this so you can just better understand. Jesus, peace be upon him, he spoke Aramaic. He didn't speak English. So if we were going to try to trace something back to him, we would go to that language. A sister language to Aramaic is the language of the Arabic language, Semitic languages. So this is what the Quran was revealed in. And I say that just because sometimes people attribute, when you say Arabic, oh, that's just for the Arabs, or you know what I mean? So now for a better understanding, this is actually the Quran.
Yeah, I'm not really like a closed-minded person. So I mean, that's kind of crazy to say Arabic's only for Arabs. I mean, it's an ancient language. I mean, definitely if you can't read or write it, you're out of luck. But you know, I'm a appreciator of wisdom, and I know definitely even, you know, I'm not like a Taoist or a Buddhist, but I do like the Tao Te Ching, you know, which is like a lot of like Eastern philosophy, and you know, I like stuff like that, and I could separate it where I could, you know. A lot of even Christians get upset at that. Like, oh, what is that, your religion? And I'm like, you know, only, and I'm like, nah, just, you know, I could browse it and it doesn't, you know, mm-hmm. it doesn't make me want to make it my whole life thing.
I'll give you an example. Like if you were to put something like your hats, and you have another hat that's on your profile, really cool. And I would say like, you got Allahu Akbar on your hat. You'd be like, no,
right.
I don't.
God is but, great.
Yeah.
right.
Put it together, right? So, but a lot of times, you'll see the news outlets. They'll like show people saying Allahu Akbar.
And found out the teenagers were singing Allah Akbar.
Listen to what they say afterwards.
Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar!
I have a problem helping those people out.
They'll be like, whoa, right. It's like a war cry and whatnot. But
right. It just it means like, God is great.
God is the greatest. Exactly. And you got hats that say God is the God is the
greatest. I know. I did it. And it wasn't even like a purposeful thing, but I was thinking about what I was going to do for my branding. And I could have done a lot of stuff, but I felt it was more selfless. And even with this hat, I always like get in conversations like old ladies that are like, oh, I like that hat. It's a real conversation starter. And I knew when I made the God is great, because once again, a lot of right wingers are ignorant and they don't know that that's what Allah Akbar means, is God is great. So I figured, I was like, you know, this would be a great hat for a Muslim as well. And, you know, I was joking to my friends. I was like, I should translate this into Arabic and just put it in Arabic. And then right wingers will really freak out. But that's definitely the propaganda.
Your sales will go through the roof, brother.
Yeah, I know. I probably should. But I guess that's, you know, a lot of brainwashing where they don't know it means that. And I guess, you know, they have identified that when some people do stuff, when it's a small minority of people that are committing acts, you know, they say that. So they have then, you know, tied it where I guess that's where I see, you know, left wingers when like say like a motive happens, like there was the guy in New York and he had a lot of like racial feelings. This is not to blame everybody of his ethnicity, but that was his motive, you know, where the left wingers will say, oh, we don't know his motive. And it's like it's right on YouTube. You know, and so that's like both sides are very childish. The left winger will act like we don't know the motive at all. And the right winger will be like, well, he said that, or, you know, that's how he felt. But both sides go extreme, I feel like. And then like the left doesn't want to talk about it. And then the right wants to blame everybody. And it's frustrating when you're not, you know, when you're not like a partisan hack, you're like, man, this is like, it feels very childish. And I'm only in my early 30s. I'm watching like 50 and 60 year olds act like kindergarteners. And I'm like, this can't be real.
It's kind of like saying hallelujah.
Right.
Allahu Akbar, same thing. Yeah. Let's get into you talk also about Kyrie Irving, the famous basketball player.
Kyrie, on a personal note, you have said that you are fasting for Ramadan, which for those who are unaware means no food, no water from sun up to sundown. How do you muster the energy to go out and score 34 points with very little nutrition in your body?
Well, it's a journey with God, and I'm not alone in this. I have brothers and sisters all around the world that are fasting with me. We hold our prayers and our meditations very sacred.
What do you think when you see someone like that? A lot, he talks about fighting for freedom, but recently also you see him, somebody who the news reported on him fasting during Ramadan and being able to score at such a high level. What do you think is someone who's not yet non-Muslim, you know, when you see something like that? What are your thoughts, impressions?
Well, with the, you know, the injection, I'll just say I think it was very honorable that he took a stance and, you know, didn't cave when that's how he felt. As far as the Ramadan, the fasting and the Islam, you know, as I grew up, I really respect. First of all, I'm into health and stuff, and I understand the, you know, health benefits to fasting. But I respect the discipline of Muslims. And I think that Christians in America, they don't have the discipline they had 50, 60 years ago. And I think that's what's destroying, you know, Christian America, is the discipline compared to old Christians like non-existent. So, you know, Muslims, the discipline to fast, and the health benefits of it, and also the, you know, subservience to God and the constant appreciation of it. I think that's honorable. And I think it's definitely tough to play at a high level like Kyrie, because, you know, you're doing the sports against the best people, and he's doing great, but I think his soul and his spirit's in a great place. And, you know, he feel like he won, he beat Big Pharma with the help of God and the help of, you know, I guess just not caving to the system.
Is that one of the sports that you're really more into, is basketball?
I do like basketball. Yeah, I like all sports, but I would say I watch the NBA probably more often than others.
You had a nice tweet here, and this is another thing that I wanted to ask you about. So the regime teaches you the prohibition was wrong. Think about that for a minute. You don't learn personal finance in school, but they are sure to let you know that banning alcohol was a great mistake and not to be repeated. Again, that took me in a whole different world, you know, and I'm always connecting things in a certain way.
Right.
But I don't know if you want to hear how I connected it first, or if you want to go ahead and just elaborate.
No, I want to hear it, but I want to say that's Mike Cernovich. I retweeted it. He's always I just shared it. He did that. Mike is a very insightful person, and I just thought that was a
Cernovich.
I thought his thought process there was fascinating, so I gave it a retweet because I was like, that is interesting, right? That they teach you about prohibition, but they don't teach you personal finances. That is a little odd.
Who's he? I see you retweeted that. Okay,
he actually
Cernovich, because Cernovich, Vich, right. He's because I'm from Bosnia, so okay. Vich usually.
He's definitely a more right leaning analyst, but I have to say, when it comes to Islam and right wing, he definitely is a Muslim respecter. He is not. He does not disrespect Muslim. I think his wife might be Muslim. I'm not sure, but out of everybody, like he'll, you know, he's one of these people that is unpredictable. That's why I like him. He doesn't just say. There's some people it's copy paste, right? They have the mind. They're just copying what. He's not like that. He's always saying wild stuff. And even when I disagree, I find it fascinating. So, yeah, I want to hear what you think about that.
It right away took me to a point in time in history where you did have the prohibition that America saw what alcohol was doing to society, humanity, and to the country, to home. So they used their logic and they were like, hold on, this is something that is not good. We're going to try to get rid of it. But, you know, that was a law. But it didn't get into the hearts of the people, so the people fought against it. Now, it connected me to the time of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, and this was when the Quran started to come down in stages. The rules and regulations didn't just come down. It's not just a rule book. You know, this is wrong. This is prohibited. First, it connected people's hearts to their creator, to one and only one God.
قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ إِلَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُؤًا أَحَدٌ.
And then the day of judgment, paradise, hellfire. I'm trying to condense this, make it real quick. And then when first it said, don't come to prayer intoxicated. It came in stages. But when the verse came and said that alcohol is totally prohibited, their faith was at a level where it's narrated that people who had just had the alcohol in their hands, they threw it down. The ones who had just swallowed, they spit it out. And literally they said the people who had took a chunk and swallowed, they were regurgitating it. The streets were filled with alcohol, people just getting rid of it. Right. And to this day, you know, the Muslim majority countries, you'll see you have the least amount of alcohol consumption because of their devotion to one and only one God, to the creator of heavens and earth, because it's in their hearts. So it reminds me when you try to just do something, you know, without having the people's hearts into it, then you have this result. But when their hearts, you know, when they have a love for their creator and they know who their creator is, and then when the creator tells them to stay away from something because he knows best and it's harmful for you, then you end up hopefully obeying that, you know? So that's a lovely thing.
That's interesting. And I think I've watched certain documentaries and just, I mean, experiencing as well, but you know, a lot of people think the politicians are really guiding policy because in some ways they're writing the laws, et cetera, but the media, the culture, the TV shows, the movies, you know, that's shifting the minds of the masses. And then they could take something like, say, gay marriage that was unpopular on both sides 10 years ago. And through programming on television, now it's, you know, basically the right has become the left and the left has become the further left. So the media really, you know, if you don't have God, you don't have religion in this country, and all you have is like television and movies. And, you know, I think that's what's going on here with a lot of things, where in the virus lockdown, they had, you know, you can't go to the gym, you can't go to the beach.
You got to be also, sorry to cut you off, but you know, you got to be careful with what words you say and whatnot, because then the videos get taken down. So
No, I won't say anything crazy. I just know there's a lot of alcohol ads on, you know, a lot of alcohol ads on the television, and a lot of fast food ads, where I just found that fascinating that people were thinking, well, you know, this, maybe if there was a government intervention and authoritarianism allowed now, maybe mandatory workouts, or maybe they, you know, if they had a conscience, maybe they would take off alcohol ads, right? If you could shut down a beach, then maybe you could, but they kept the alcohol ads pumping for sure.
That's crazy. You do a brilliant job of breaking down, you know, the media manipulation and almost like putting people into a trance. And a lot of Muslims also have fallen into this trance. Like they'll know, I'll give you an example. For instance, like when you bring up something like, you know, the buildings coming down, for instance. On one end, you have Islam condemns killing of innocent men, women, and children. This is clear. There's no doubt about it, right? That's a whole different topic. I've done so many shows on this. But then when you see a building coming down, right, and nothing hit it, you follow me, and then you see Christians coming forward and also saying, you know, that, you know, this architects and engineers, et cetera, et cetera. So this Muslims will understand that, okay, these are lies, you know, misinformation. Or when you talk about Palestine, for instance, you know, you'll see that there is also media manipulation, lies. But then when it comes to other certain things, again, they'll swallow it, hook, sinker, just like the topic that you kind of just alluded to. So can you talk about it? Can you elaborate, you know, on this media manipulation, how strong it is? And it's almost like magic.
It's crazy strong. And with the internet, it probably always was with the television, but you know, everything is kind of rigged where on Google, on YouTube, if you were to search, you know, say like Donald Trump or something, you're not going to find a video of Donald Trump speaking for himself. You're going to find, you know, the 15 news sources that they have approved news of what they're saying of him. And whether people like him or not, just the idea that, you know, we're not even allowed to hear certain people speak for themselves. It's almost like they're branding everything all the time. So with Big Pharma, for instance, you know, there's heavy censorship with social code. Now, if you speak about gender in the wrong way, you could have your whole channel taken down, you know, what, regardless of your religion. So it just keeps getting more and more censorship. So speaking out against these political and social narratives is becoming almost illegal. I say, instead of like Sharia law, I say it's a Pfizer real law. You know, it's like we have Pfizer Sharia law where, you know, you could question God in America, but you can't question Big Pharma. It's fascinating. Or Fauci, you know, Fauci law. So I think the social engineers and powerful people in society have always figured out, in the same way that Elon Musk is trying to buy Twitter, I believe maybe for the good. But, you know, if you want to control the minds of the masses, like Malcolm X said, the media does that. So they have figured out through movies, television, and these social narratives are crazy. So I wanted to ask you, too, because I know in America, you know, a lot of Muslims are more left wing and definitely becoming more liberal. But I'm not an expert of the Quran, but it you know, similar to the Bible, it's almost like the antithesis. They're teaching the opposite values.
You're right.
And kids are falling for it because they're being told, if you're a bad person if you don't do this. I mean, it's literally like inversion, you know, like if you follow the works of God and you follow these principles, discipline principles that are actually like definitely better, you know, you're the oppressor. So, you know, just side with us, that, you know, whether it be the rainbow flag, whether it be the BLM, whether it be the environmentalism, things that people are like, well, of course, I don't support racism. I want the earth to be clean, you know, which I do. But that's how they kind of, there's all these little traps to just bring you over. Next thing you know, you're rejecting God.
So we're kind of making history here, because that's the whole idea. You know, we want this to be something, and as an example, that's why I ended up doing that interview with Jesse, trying to break through many of these stereotypes. And people can, hopefully, God willing, they can see us as an example that we are able to talk, we're able to communicate, and we're able to ask questions. And hopefully, you know, we're able to, because to go back to what you're saying, why this is, what we've seen is that many Muslims are scared. They feel like on one side, literally, these people want to eradicate us. They want to kill us. They want to, you know, they don't want nothing to do with us.
Right.
Over here, they're inviting us, you know, they're inviting the Muslims. Right. Right. They're petting you. They're, you know, but they're stabbing you in the back. You
follow? Right.
So it's like, but definitely here we have much more in common, much more in common. And you mentioned the term, and I just want to, for educational purposes, when you mentioned the term Sharia, this for the non-Muslim audience, it just means God's law. This is like the Ten Commandments, pretty much. You have Sharia mentioned. I had a Jewish rabbi on the program, and he confirmed this. And in the Arabic Bible, you have Sharia mentioned 200 plus times, just like you have Allah mentioned in the Arabic Bible. In Arabic, Jews and Christians who read the Bible in Arabic, it doesn't say God, it says Allah, right? So Sharia, same thing. This just means God's law. That's it. And Sharia is charity, prayer, how to be a good husband, the rights of the wife, of the husband. Many people, they look at the penal code, which is just 1% of Islam. You follow me? Just 1%. And probably most people would agree with many of the strict, because the penal code is there. It's very strict to act as a deterrent. You follow me? To keep criminals in check. But good human beings who are living a good, righteous life, they shouldn't have to fear these things, right? And I just had I don't know if you heard of this, Andrew Tate. Mm-mm. You can watch the show that I did, and he's traveled in many, he's a Christian also, and he's traveled to Muslim countries, and you should check out what he has to say on this topic that we're talking about.
How much respect I have for the faith of Islam.
And I'm not a Muslim, so I'm an Orthodox Christian, but if I had to bet on one religion as if I were betting on the stock market for the future, you have to bet on Islam.
But anyways, let me just get into some of the other things that you talk about. Can you elaborate what's being injected into the kids' school curriculum? You had this new bill that was being passed, and you did a video on this, analyzing this. Can you bring us up to speed?
Yeah. So the governor of Florida passed a bill. I'm sure it was multi pages, but the gist of it was, I don't know if it was like 9 to 5 or if it was elementary, but it was pretty young. And it just said, you know, don't teach kids sexual education. Don't inject sexuality into the minds of the young children, basically. And then the left wing in this country kind of freaked out and said, don't say gay. Even though that's not the name of the bill, it was kind of just like a branding attempt to smear it. And that's what's kind of I'm seeing is, as far as people's identity and who they are, when you're especially, I mean, there's conversations to be had about adults, but to me, this is like crossing the line way too far. You're 6, 7 years old. I thought I was a Power Ranger, a Ninja Turtle, an athlete, a fireman. You know, you don't know what you are because you're so young. And really all you know is what your parents teach you. If I speak English because my parents taught me English, it's not like I thought to speak English. You know, you're literally like a sponge being molded by your parents and your teachers. Mm-hmm. So you have a lot of these people that are trying to inject sexuality and confuse kids into thinking they're a different gender. And it's just so disingenuous at a young age because they're too young to even know anything. So I think what's going on in schools is, you know, similar to why the kids, and I appreciate you saying that because it is tough for a Muslim in America. On one hand, the right wing is not open. On the other hand, the left wing is kind of stabbing you in the back. So it is like there is really a difficult decision to be made. But as a kid, it's like, they're really teaching these kids, you know, if you're gay, you're like special. And, you know, if your skin color is this, your history's bad. And it's almost like a safe route to just like say you're a different gender or something. You know, it's like safer to be like, well, I can't be bullied now. Maybe they'll call it hate speech. And it's just way too confusing for kids. So Ron DeSantis is one of the Republicans pushing back against that. And Disney and the left wing kind of freaked out and mislabeled it. And it's really upsetting because if you disagree with what he's saying, I'm willing to hear the debate. But what they do is they kind of straw man, make up a fake argument that's not had, similar to like people do to you. You know, it's hard to have a conversation about Islam if people are making up something that's totally false. It's, you know, that's called the straw man. It's like, here's some fake thing that I'm going to fight with that's not even real. So yeah, that's kind of the thing they're doing with the kids, pushing sexualization, you know, gay gender switching on like 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds.
Yeah, I brought on a great woman. Her name is Brenda Lipsack. She's a Christian also. And this is another great example. And she's working with Muslim imams and Muslim community leaders. And I've had her on the program exposing them, what they're doing and putting these things real subtly a lot of times into the curriculum. And you have some, you know, many parents, some who are immigrants, they have no idea
like
what's going on. And then they end up also at a certain age where, like you said, a child's like thinking I'm a Ninja Turtle, this, that, and the other. They're confused.
Right.
And then they say, like, just take your time and we'll put you on, what are those, puberty blockers?
Right, right.
Right? Just screw up your whole physiology and your biology and just mess you up totally.
Yeah.
It's really sad. And it's nice to see someone like yourself who's bringing this to fruition and helping people see what's going on.
It's tough to talk about because the, you know, the right wingers that take a hard stance, it's like they're basically saying it's like a hate speech violation to question some of this. Like if you aggressively say,
but how if you're just questioning, if you're like it doesn't make sense scientifically, from biology, none of it makes sense that, you know, a man tomorrow, a boy is born with certain parts, with certain chromosomes, everything, that he's a man, he's a boy. But now to convince him that he's other, that a person is now a fish, or the person is now a dog, you'd think that's crazy.
Well, coming back to the religious aspect of it too, I have to say, like, I think both parties are corrupt. Both, you know, both systems are misleading people, but the left wing, it's almost as if they're creating this religion. Like that's why I joke and say Pfizeria law or Fauci law, because it's like, they're literally making it illegal in certain cases to question basic reality or talk about basic humanity. And it's such a wicked system because they're authoritarian. They're not even like normal liberals. Like, maybe I'm wrong, but you have the right to say it. You know, it's like they're doing wickeder and wickeder stuff. And that's how they stop people from stopping them, right? It's just saying, well, that's hate speech. Maybe that's racist, that's sexist, that's xenophobic, that's a conspiracy theory. That's a, you know, they have a word for everything to kind of like put up a block that's homophobic. Obviously, that's a main one. That's anti-Semitic. That's a climate denial. They hide their agenda behind things that seem good. And then, you know, use these words to stop people from pushing back, where it's like, you know, I mean, 10 years ago, homophobic meant you didn't want gay people to get married, which wouldn't even be true because it doesn't, homophobia, that doesn't mean you're afraid of them. Like, oh my gosh, there's one, you know, that was a lie anyway. But now it's like they've moved to the children stuff and now they're like using that word to block it. And it's like, whoa, that's, you know, the slippery slope is real. And I think that's why a lot of Christians and a lot of conservatives, I would say millions of conservatives, have a more favorable view of Islam now, because they've seen the slippery slope in America. It's real. So I think they're appreciating, even in some of the stricter countries, like, oh yeah, maybe that is how you stop this. You know, maybe that is how you stop the degeneracy, because every Christian pastor that warned us that this was going to lead to this, I mean, it really did happen. I didn't think it would 20 years ago, but it definitely has. I mean, you know, they have gone that far for sure.
And this is why Muslims and Christians need to work together.
Right.
This is another great example.
Well, I think, you know, without getting too much into it, I think it's been a purposeful, in my perspective, studying the world and stuff. When you have this sort of degeneracy, this godless, like you could say far left, but there's right wingers doing dishonest stuff, this really evil agenda, I think the people that are doing this have understood, well, in America, who's voting conservative against big government? You know, it's a lot of white people. It's not to say all white people are doing, but, you know, there's a lot of this, well, you're bad, because they've realized that's not their voting block. So if they could subvert that voting block, get power, then they could turn their backs on all the minorities that help gain them in power. You know, same with Christians. And when you go to the Middle East, I mean, who's rejecting the wickedness harder than Islam? So I think, you know, they've turned Christians and Muslims against each other. It's not to say that you're going to agree on everything. And in certain cases, it's okay, you know, in my opinion, to have your own culture, have your own identity. Everyone doesn't have to be everyone all the time. It's not like they force people together, but then make them hate each other. It's like, it's okay to live in a different community. But, you know, I think they've purposely done this because they see Christianity and Islam as the, you know, two of the biggest threats to their subversive, degenerate, you know, evil agenda of, you know, a massive, I think, government across the world where it's not based by God. It's not based by morality. It's almost the opposite. It's almost like, you know, the inversion of what everybody in their heart and soul knows is moral is what they're trying to do. So they've definitely subverted Christians, in my opinion, in America to really, you know, align with the group of people that really doesn't like them the most. And it's the exact example that you said. And Malcolm used to say it too, where it's like, you know, there's the person that's going to stab you in the front and stab you in the back. You know, there's something respectable about the one that's doing it in the front. You know, at least you know it's there and you know to avoid, versus the one that says, you're my best friend, come in my house, and they hate you. So
just a few more questions before we conclude. So how do you feel? Because I think this is a good icebreaker. I think this is something that you can build off when we as Muslims, and again, Muslim simply means, it's an Arabic word that means one who has submitted his will or her will to one and only one God. And Islam is the action of submitting your will, gaining peace, gaining purpose in life by submitting your will to God. That's what it simply means. So as a Muslim, how do you feel telling, because you'd be classified yourself as a Christian, correct? So as a Christian, one that you love dearly is Jesus. So if I tell you as a Muslim, I love Jesus, it's an article of our belief to love. Do Christians know this, that Muslims love Jesus, not as a God or a literal son of God, metaphorically,
right?
Okay, but we love Jesus. I mean, if I said anything, we say peace be upon him. There's right. a whole chapter in the Quran named after his blessed mother, Muslim woman. If you look at them, they're wearing the hijab. Mary, mother of Jesus, she wore the hijab. You know, so what do you think when you hear this? When we say literally, we love Jesus.
I mean, I know that Muslims appreciate Jesus. I don't think a lot of Christians do, but I'll bring that up because like when the Christian, Muslim, Jewish, you know, people have debates and this and that, I'll say, you know, like, and I'm not going to say all because there are some Jews who respect Jesus, but I always say Muslims on average respect and appreciate Jesus far more than Jewish people do. You know, that's just a fact because, you know, there's always like inter-religious debates. I know that. I think some do, but I would say most don't, to be honest. I would say most have no idea.
Do you think this is important? I mean, do you think this is a good icebreaker knowing that?
For me, I mean, you know, when you love and appreciate Jesus as much as a Christian does, I think it's massive. You know, when I found that out, I was like, oh, that's interesting. And once I started really, you know, with the degeneracy blockers where, you know, you have right wingers being like, we need to go to Palestine and make gay marriage illegal. And I'm like, that's a Christian trying to go to Palestine and make gay. Like, I was like, we have enough problems here. Why would I want as a Christian to go to Palestine and make them gayer when we're having like drag queen story hour and pride parades every month? Like, that's what that's what Christians want. Like, the right wing Republican Party in this country has been so subverted, it's bananas. You know, like literally that's like their talking point. So between that and respecting Jesus, these are things that made me realize, like, okay, I'm like, you know, there's something not adding up about what they've said about it. But I think that's a massive, massive icebreaker. And if, like, you know, you're speaking to a Christian who's hostile, I mean, it's not your job to make them not. That's on their soul and spirit. But I think that's definitely a talking point that would, you know, maybe wake some people up. But it's hard to tell. Some people are so stubborn and they never learn and they never listen. And, you know, there's the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. But yeah. I think that's a good place to start for sure.
I think Christians can start to understand now because they're seeing, you know, their way of life. They're seeing all this new religion that's pushed under liberalism and everything. And they're like, we don't need this stuff. So you can imagine, like Muslim majority countries, you're trying to go over from other side of the world, coming over there and trying to impose your way of life on them, right? And they're like, we don't need this over here. You follow me? Right. We're good. So right. Man is a man. We don't need to, right? Mix it. I don't want to be a fish or I don't want to, right?
Right.
Or whatever else you want to call it. So I think people and can understand that better.
I know they stop it more, but they're gonna try to, I mean, they already have, but infiltrate Muslim countries, and the slippery slope goes slower there because Muslims put up a blocker, but they're gonna try to do that further and further too, you know, like just like slowly over time, try to get Muslims to be more liberal. And, you know, as somebody, I mean, you live in America, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. That's my message to Islamic countries. The slippery slope is real. Do not let the Western liberals convince you that it's not, because it happens quickly.
Where are you in the States?
I'm in California.
California. You ever travel to Chicago?
I've never been.
Okay. If you do, we can hook up, have you in the studio in person. That's where we're at, Chicago.
All right. I'll let you know if I ever do.
Okay. Last one I wanted to touch upon. You talk about you show a clip and it's discussing abortion, and it right. talks about I don't know what this is, a politician or someone. He talks about after the baby's delivered, then right. we can have a discussion.
Right.
And many Muslims are also blind to this also, what's going on. And you're bringing this to the forefront, like talk about this. Right.
So I'll start real quick without getting too wordy. Like, just like with God, you know, pro-life, pro-choice, it didn't really mean much to me growing up. And I thought there was a moral discussion going on. Okay, when is it sperm, egg? When is it a baby? That's a complex discussion, right? Because it would be wild to say your sperm is a baby when it's not. So a lot of Christians think conception, whatever. It was the left wing just moving it further and further. So it's like, okay, well, they're mad at the heartbeat. And then it's like 14 weeks and 16 weeks and third trimester. And I'm thinking to myself, as someone who never thought about it, I'm like, that seems a little weird. Wouldn't you know, like that's a little. And then you have Ralph Northam. He was the governor of Virginia before, a Democrat. And he was on some radio show and he said, we'll resuscitate the baby, which means like bring it back to life. And then like basically allow the mother to make a decision or something. And I guess he was saying if the baby had some sort of illness or something, but still, I mean, you know, I don't think if something is alive, it's alive. It's not your job to murder it. So they've moved this once again, just like with the LGBT stuff, they moved the slippery slope so far. They're not simply trying to have a moral conversation about when it's alive and when it's not. They are suggesting, in my perspective, after birth abortion, which is just full blown murder. I mean, it's evil.
Yeah, definitely. This is, you know, Islam's stance on this also, right?
I'm not 100%. Let me know, like, what the popular opinion is in Islam.
Yeah, the majority consensus is across the board. Default is that it's not allowed. Abortion isn't. You have up until, according to the hadith from Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, who he talks about the soul. You might have the body, the heart pumping and everything, but at 120 days, that's when God blows the soul into the child, the baby. So up until then, without extreme exceptions, right? If you know, and then that's up to, they will go to a qualified Islamic scholar and see what these exceptions are, right? Let's say the mother, she might die. You follow me? Maybe she was raped. Whatever. There's exceptions, but the general rule that it is prohibited, definitely. So it's a human life, and at 120 days, according to Islam, it has a soul. Yeah, so you have the soul is taken, you know, these, because you, where's your soul? You have to ask yourself.
Right.
You've seen these videos. They come in and they're just removing body parts. You know what I mean? At 6 months, yeah, 7 months. Disgusting. It's like, it's crazy, man. It's crazy.
Right. That's another great talking point, because I know a lot of Christians, a lot of right wingers. It's a very passionate topic. You know, there's the pro-life march in D.C. and it's enormous. They never cover it in the media, but it is huge. I was even shocked by how it looked like there were a million people there. So it's a popular thing that the media has kind of written off for years. But I think the reason it's so popular is not just Islam and Christianity, but it's human nature, right? Like if you have a soul and you see body parts or afterbirth, like it's a natural human thing to protect the young.
Yeah. I want to thank you for accepting the invitation to be on the Dean Show. God willing, we can continue the conversation and other people can take from this example, learn from this benefit, and to see, hopefully it could be a catalyst for others to take off with and have more conversations and do more good working and collaborating together between Muslims and Christians and just all good humans.
Cool. Thank you so much for having me. And I have to say to your audience and any Muslim that watches, you know, I'll always on my news platform give you a fair shake and, you know, be as honest as I possibly can, because I know a lot of people are dividing, lying, you know, spreading really just hate, bad energy, and they don't know what they're talking about. So I'll always give you guys a fair shake and be as honest as I can.
Really, really appreciate that. And that's at Anomaly, right?
That's correct. Yep.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you, man. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Peace. And I want to thank you guys for tuning in here on The Dean Show. It was a really great discussion. Hope you guys got to enjoy it. I surely did. Subscribe if you haven't already to get more so you don't miss opportunity when the next video comes out. And we'll see you next time here on The Dean Show. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. I cannot leave without giving you a gift. If you're not yet Muslim and you're tuning in to see what these Muslims are talking about and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeanshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. And if you like this episode of The Dean Show, like this video, share this video far and wide, and support us on our Patreon page so we can continue this work. Thank you for tuning in. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.